You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Bing bong!
And we got to talk about the Knicks. And I want to tell everybody out there that there's no joy in leading the show this way all the time. But how to ignore something so ridiculously embarrassing as what happened yesterday? Now, you're torn between celebrating the Nets coming back, but really the bigger story is the Knicks blowing a 28-point lead. And don't forget, it was an 18-point lead 1 minute into the fourth quarter. And also don't forget, sitting on the net bench in street clothes, Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, and not allowed in the arena because of the vaccination status, Kyrie Irving. And they still came back. There was a point in that game, in the second quarter, when I was watching the game, and I fought the urge to turn it off and watch something else. And I said, nah, you never know. The Knicks are known to make something like this interesting. Hmm. And boy, did they make it interesting. And guys, you know, we sit here, We tell you how much of a dumpster fire it is, and I wish that we had a solution. We don't, other than the fact that they're not good. And the only thing that's going to change is that after the All-Star break, they're going to get back Derrick Rose. Is that going to be that much of a difference? And also, when you get a chance today, look at the 9 games they have coming up after the All-Star break. I don't think it's going to get any better. And Don and Peter, you know, in terms of getting into the play-in, they're 4 games back in the loss column right now.
Yeah.
For the last spot of the play-in. How are they making that up?
They got to climb over Washington to get to Atlanta. They're sitting in 12th with an 8-game road trip looming.
Don, you said it on the call. And I'm not saying you were saying that this is the right thing, but you verbalized it perfectly earlier when Don said to us, that's the kind of game, the kind of loss where people lose jobs.
And yes.
It was with every eyeball in the city locked in even more. It was the perfect storm. It was your crosstown rivals, your incredibly undermanned crosstown rivals. Home game, biggest lead yet. It was the absolute worst-case scenario for this team.
I mean, that's taking a knee at the goal line. That's the Herm Edwards play. That's, you know, I remember when Tom Rennie lost his job when they gave up 10 goals in Dallas. I mean, there's some times where it just all comes to a head. And now you got the break coming up, so maybe you could make the move and have a little time to make the transition. But, Michael, what is it, the last 7 fourth quarters in overtime, they're minus 90?
Yeah, and
I mean, or something ridiculous like that. I guess it was 52, so I guess it's minus 80 because there was at minus 28 last night. They, again, got outscored 39-11 in the fourth quarter in their own building. And Peter said the same thing yesterday, and that's what's going to end up costing somebody his job. It's the same song and dance every single night. Big lead, go to the fourth quarter, blow it. Every night, and against garbage teams too. The Nets didn't have anybody on the court. The Thunder didn't have anybody on the court. Portland gave up all their players before the trading deadline. That's a recipe for disaster.
You know things are bad when after each of these losses we go, well, that's rock bottom. But they keep chipping away, and there's more bottom to the rock. So 3 games since February 5th. Today's February 17th. 3 games since February 5th. They have blown leads of 20 or more points. They're the first team in the NBA to do that in the last quarter of a century.
Unreal.
Now, are they a good team? No. Are they this bad? No, they're not. Their talent would indicate that they're not this bad. They shouldn't be this bad. The fact that they're this bad is concerning. And now, Ian Begley, a guy that I really respect, and you know, he does his homework when he does stories, and he covers the Knicks for SNY, and he reported that William Wesley, who's a big part of the front office, in conversations with James Dolan, Wesley has told Dolan, this is Thibodeau. Now, of course, when the rats start scurrying to different parts of the ship, that's when everything goes wrong. So by blaming it on Thibodeau, and I believe he does deserve a lot of the blame, I wouldn't say the lion's share, because he's had a bad year, but he does deserve a lot of the blame. You're saving your own backside. You're saving Leon Rose, you, Scott Perry. Rosas, the guy you brought over that was with Minnesota, you're saving everybody. So already you've got the ear of the owner and saying, well, this is on Thibs. Now, I am not of the belief that Thibodeau should be fired. I'm not. I'm sorry. I don't think you become a bad coach in 1 year. We were all lauding him last year. And now he should be fired? Or maybe the front office should look within and go, wow, what bad moves we made with salary cap space. What we did made the team worse. They made the team worse. And now you could see this team is the classic team that's playing a game and looking in the rearview mirror rather than looking through the windshield. They're waiting for what's gaining on them. And they are making mistakes because of it. If you watch that first half, the Knicks were pushing the pace. Julius Randle was running as fast as I've ever seen him down court. He had 21 points in the first half. And he was a completely different player in the second half. They couldn't miss in the first half. They couldn't hit in the second half. The Nets were abysmal in the first half. And the Knicks played good defense. And then all of a sudden at halftime, something clicked in where the Nets said, we're not letting that team beat us. Now, one thing that you all have to realize, the Nets team, as presently constructed, should not be able to beat the Knicks at Madison Square Garden.
No, they were a 4.5-point dog.
Yeah. And Peter, by the way, made our listeners a lot of money. He said, play the Nets on the money line.
Oh, I know. And I didn't play it myself.
Well, that's...
You didn't even make it your hardwood.
That's foofery.
I don't even... Don, I tried. I called up the band for that it does the hardwood themes. They were tired.
Wow. And then if you bet the Nets on the money line and then you wanted to really go up and in on the Nets, the number you could have gotten on the money line for the Nets winning at halftime, you could have paid your rent for a couple of months without a big investment. So it was that sort of game. It's hard to watch. It's hard to stomach. If you noticed, Garden wasn't full yesterday. And that's the thing that gets owners' attentions, by the way. That gets an owner's attention. When the Madison Square Garden has a lot of empty seats and a lot of people left early, too. Because I think that's what got John Mara and Steve Tisch's attention. MetLife was a ghost town in the second half of the year. That's money. Even if the tickets are sold, that's money. That's concessions. That's parking. So James Dolan has to note that. Now, if you want to shake things up, obviously the easier thing to do is to get rid of one than to completely redo the decision makers. Now, you made your bed by hiring a neophyte at this. You made your bed by hiring Leon Rose. Now, I've said this a lot, and I'm going to go a little bit more up and in on it. With Thibodeau twisting in the wind, what Leon Rose is doing by not speaking with the media is criminal, and he should be ashamed of himself, because Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau should be tied at the hip. Leon Rose used to rep Tom Thibodeau as an agent. They're friends. You're going to let this guy take the entire hit for this mismatch roster that you built? Well, it tells me one thing, Leon. You're a coward. That you can't even explain what's going on here, what the thought process is. Again, don't do it with us. I don't care. At least make an attempt. Take out your favorite writer. Give him an exclusive. Give her an exclusive. Talk to Mike Breen. Talk to Alan Hahn. Do it on MSG. But to sit there and cower behind a veil of secrecy.
Yeah,
it's distressing. Well, this is your friend who's the coach.
That was the best. That was the best thing Stephen A. said last night. I thought that, you know, when Stephen A. went off, and a lot of it was funny and just sort of being a fan and being silly about how bad this is. But the one thing he did was call out Leon. Like, how could this be the case? How could you come here and act like you're going to turn over a new leaf and now be more secretive than it's ever been?
Right.
It's unbelievable because GMs, even if they don't want to talk a lot, they have a responsibility to talk after trade deadlines to explain what happened or why something didn't happen. And you also have a responsibility when you're 3-13 after 16 games to sit there and face the music. And this guy has been absolutely gutless. He's been gutless. What, he doesn't know how to talk? Or he doesn't have answers? So you know, Thibodeau twisting the wind when there's a report out there that your lieutenant, the guy that you're tied at the hip with as well, William Wesley, is going to Jim Dolan and saying, this is on Thibodeau, not on us. You got to answer to that unless you want to fire Tom Thibodeau. And I'll tell you another thing, Leon. When and if you fire the coach, well, it's kind of incumbent upon you to say why. Maybe the spotlight of being the man in charge is not really for you. Maybe being an agent who operates behind the scenes, who pulls strings of power behind the scenes, maybe that's more suited for you. But when you're the president of basketball operations of the New York Knicks, part of the job is conversing, communicating with your fan base.
Yeah.
That not only buys tickets, but also puts its hard-earned fan equity into this team and has for their entire lives. And you can't explain what's going on, even if you don't have an explanation. The good GMs do that because they have to have a reason. Why didn't you trade Mitchell Robinson at the trade deadline? Why didn't you get rid of Kemba Walker? Why are they not playing Cam Reddish? Are you okay with that? Instead, you're leaving it to Tom Thibodeau to answer all the questions. And you could see, once that report by Ian comes out, and we've been saying it for about 3 weeks now, there is obviously a fissure between them and the bench. Now, either that gets repaired and Jim Dolan makes them come together, or something has to give. But instead, Leon Rose, really, I hate to say it, I don't even know the man, gutless. To not speak to your fan base, that's gutless.
Well, you got your own network. The Knicks do not play a game until next Friday. The Rangers play a game Sunday at 5. They've got a game on ESPN on Thursday. So there is nothing on MSG from Sunday afternoon until next Friday. So you're looking for a little programming, why not have a sit-down? Talk to your fans. You'll get a great number. Have Mike Breen do it. Sit down and discuss the state of the Knicks. It's the perfect time. All-star break. Nothing else is going on. I think it's the perfect time. It would get a great number. Do it. Now's the time.
You can't say, right, that, well, that's the way they do things. No, it's not. Remember when Fizdale was doing terribly and Steve Mills and Scott Perry came out and spoke to the media instead of Fizdale?
Yes.
So you're going to let... Rather than letting Fizdale twist in the wind, they spoke. They told you the state of the team. Now, we know the state of the team. It's in a state of disarray. But don't we deserve to hear it from the people that make the decisions that put the team together? Now, that doesn't solve any problems. We know what the problems are. It's a mismatched team. You have a defensive-minded coach that you didn't give him his defensive players. You also have a coach that prefers to play veterans, and you got him a lot of kids. So something's got to give. Either you have to sit him down and go, either you start playing the kids or you're going to go. We'll bring in somebody that will. But when you're on national television and you blow a game like that, that had to get Jim Dolan's attention. To the crosstown Nets. A shadow of what the Nets are. That's who you lost to. Now, if you blew a 28-point lead to Kevin Durant, and if you blew a 28-point lead to Kyrie Irving, And Ben Simmons, oh, okay, I guess I can understand it. Although blowing a 28-point lead, even to the great Celtics teams of the past, that's hard to do. But you did it to a decimated Net squad. And no one's going to explain it except for Tom Thibodeau, who really didn't have answers after the game. Those are as Don has said, those are the games that cost people their jobs.
Now, do you think Leon took this job and told Dolan, listen, I don't speak to the media. I'll do whatever you need me to do, but I'm not talking. I wouldn't hire him if he had said that, but I'm just wondering if he did. Just seems odd that we haven't heard from him.
We get along very well with Jim Dolan. He's been very good to us over the years. But I don't think he cares a whit about the media. He looks at them as the enemy. We've seen that. I mean, he has actually spoken the words to me in private. I don't care what people write about us. So if you don't care about it and your president of basketball operations is a coward and won't talk to media, you're not going to tell him to talk. You don't care. If Jim doesn't care, that's the only way you can...
By the way, he's lying, but...
Of course he. That's why he has a war with the Daily News.
Right.
Of course he cares what they write. And I actually said that to him when he said it. He goes, no, I really don't care. So, okay, that those are his words. He doesn't care.
Right.
So if he doesn't care, then what compels Leon Rose, if he's a coward, to speak? The only way he would speak is if Jim Dolan's, you got to talk. You got to explain this. And I get a sense that somewhere down the line, we're going to have Jim Dolan sitting with us again and explaining what happened. Because that's when I give him credit. When it hits the fan, he actually does explain. He did it with Phil Jackson. He's done it a couple of times. He did it with the Oakley situation. Now, whether you like his answers or not, at least he takes the questions. You might not like Leon Rose's answers. Maybe Leon Rose doesn't have answers. But at least he has the courage of his conviction. You built the team. Don't you think that you have the answers to some of these questions? Yeah. Or are you completely afraid that the media is going to expose you as a fraud? How do you not speak? And how do the Knicks allow it? And how does the NBA allow it? And if Tom Thibodeau is really friends with Leon Rose after all the years together, he's going to sit down with him and say, Leon, help me out here, man. Throw me a lifeline. Yeah. I shouldn't be the one taking a hit constantly. Yeah, is part of it my fault? Yeah, part of the being a coach, I have to talk before and after a game. I get it. But you gotta help me out a little bit. You got to talk a little bit. All the good GMs do it. Brian Cashman never shied away. Remember when the Yankees were spiraling out of control last year? Brian Cashman on the field met with all the media and said, we stink right now. That's what fans appreciate. And I keep emphasizing this, everybody. It's not about us. I don't care if we talk to him. I'd like to get that interview, but that's not about us. You owe your fan base an explanation. What, are you afraid to talk? You have an inability to communicate? I've never seen anything like this. I've been covering sports in New York City, what is it now? Almost 40 years.
Yeah.
I've never seen this. Where you just go completely underground when things are going bad?
Nope. He never spoke when things were going good.
I mean, you got Leon Rose, and remember Steve Phillips, Don? Never saw a microphone. He didn't want to romance.
Nope.
I mean, he stood in the locker room and was waiting people to interview him.
Yeah.
So those are two extremes. That's not good. And what Leon Rose is doing is worse. Hasn't spoken once since September. And if things were going well, we wouldn't need to hear from him. His work would speak for itself. Well, now his work does speak for itself and tells us that he's inept. Unless he has a secret plan that maybe he could tell us. Well, we know what we're doing. It's going to be process. Instead, we wonder and guess. So if the Knicks are going to sit here, and I know they're partners with us on the radio station, if they're going to sit here and get angry about how we're tearing them apart, what are we supposed to say when you don't give us any guidance? You're not telling us what's really going on. So you're going to ask three people to give their own opinions. And our opinion is that there's real trouble at 33rd and 7th. Real trouble. Because it seems like there's a disconnect between front office and bench. And that's the worst thing that you could have. Looks like the front office is giving the bench players they don't want. And the bench is not doing anything with the players that the front office just gave you. That Cam Reddish is not playing now needs to be explained. And Tom Thibodeau's going to tell you, well, yeah, rotation, you know, we made a trade. We didn't trade anybody out of the rotation. Well, you know what he said yesterday that gave me some hope? anything's on the table now. Forget about, you know, it's his turn. No. Play the guys that help you win. Play the guys that play the best. Play the guys that play hard. Once he said anything is on the table, well, let's see. Put things on the table. I was sitting there, guys. I don't know if you were like this. I was sitting there slack-jawed. I could not believe what was unfolding in front of my eyes.
It was like Saturday all over again in Portland. Like, how are you blowing this lead? How is it happening again? You can't put this team away?
28 points is a big lead, everybody.
You think?
It's a big lead. And 18, 11 minutes left in the game is a huge lead.
Huge.
Wow. Just amazing. The other big story, and we'll take your phone calls on the next. The other big story, Major League Baseball and the Players Association met today for 15 minutes. It lasted 15 minutes. And then there was a side meeting between two of the heads, Bruce Meyer and Dan Hallam. Dan Hallam of Major League Baseball, Bruce Meyer of the Players Association. And they had a side session for 20 minutes.
Thank you for being such a gentleman.
And for what we could find out and everything that's being reported, they're still miles apart. And we'll talk more about this in the 4 o'clock hour because basketball is the big story right now. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on here. Without taking sides, the last two collective bargaining agreements, Tony Clark and the Players Association, got taken to the woodshed by baseball. They decisively lost both of those collective bargaining agreements. And now, what they're trying to do is get it all back, or at least a great amount of it back, in this negotiating. Not going to happen. Now, is baseball going to end forever? Of course it's not. Is there going to be a settlement at some point? Of course there will be. But when it gets settled, and the amount of acrimony that's going to be spilled out toward your fans and between each other is only going to depend on what side is going to give in. And it doesn't have to completely capitulate, but if the Players Association is trying to get everything back that they feel that they gave too much back in the last two agreements over 10 years, then we're going to be in for a long wait. Because I've talked to labor people who said, if you feel that you've got taken to the woodshed, two straight collective bargaining agreements, you almost have to look at it as a 15-year process over three different new agreements to get it back in increments. You can't get it all back at once. So they're fighting about arbitration-eligible players, and then they're fighting about the tax, and they're miles apart on it, which doesn't give me any hope at all. They're miles apart. Now, is one side going to really come closer to the other side in the next couple of days? I don't know. But everybody, look at February 28th if you're wondering, are we going to have baseball on March 31st? Because if nothing's done by February 28th, as Jeff Passan said today, I guess if it happened on March 4th, they'd make it work with less than four weeks. But, Don, if it's not done by February 28th, I don't like the chances.
No, and it'd be by design because they're willing to go deep into April because a lot of these owners don't want to play in the cold anyway. If they're willing to go that deep, they're willing to go a little deeper.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, let's go to the phones. Manny in Pennsylvania. Manny.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Mike. Mike, Peter, and Don. How you doing?
Good.
Hey,
how are you?
Mike, let me just say this. I'm going to try to be as calm as I can. Okay. About a month ago, I just bought the book, The Blood in the Garden. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that last night. I saw a comedy show at the Garden. So you mean to tell me, out of four games, which you could have went 3-1, 22, 23, 28, and you can't hold the lead. I'm with Spike Lee. I'm even with Stephen A. Smith. I'm probably with you, Mike. I can't. I don't know what to do with myself with this Knicks team. Been a Knicks fan 37 years. I'm going to turn 50 towards the end of this year. I don't even know if we're going to see a championship in my life. I would like to. I would love to. But, Mike, you tell me what needs to be done. Is it the GM? Is it the owner? Is it the head coach? You tell me what it is, because what I saw last night, utter disgusting, utterly embarrassing. I feel like I can't even show my face and say I'm a Knicks fan, because what I saw last night wasn't up to par, wasn't up to standard. And we say that the Knicks are the number one market in this town in New York. I don't know. I don't know what to say at this point, Michael, because what I saw last night, I was so excited when I turned on the TV. I told my brother, I said, hey, it's the Nets. It's going to be the Knicks. Oh, I can't wait. Same thing like you, Michael, when you say, oh, you know, I might turn off the TV like after the first half. I was going to do the same thing. What ended up happening? Close game. 10 points. 3 points. Michael, I don't know what to say, but I'm not going to be a Max Kellerman. I'm not going to give him my car, but something needs to be done with this Knicks team. It's utterly embarrassing, and just like Stephen A. said, should you boycott? Should you not show up at the game? I don't know what to do.
But
what
is you as a fan to me, I laugh at that kind of stuff. I laugh at that stuff.
Yeah.
Boycott. You're a fan. Well, boycott what? You think that's going to affect them? Somebody else will buy the ticket. Boycott. What a waste of time. Waste of time. Somebody else will buy the ticket. There'll be some tourist in New York that'll buy the ticket.
Here's the thing that gets me. You got to commend people, though, for wanting to not reward the behavior.
I get it. But are you going to get enough people to do it? So if you're going to be the one to cut off your nose to spite your face and not root for your team, I don't think it's going to move the needle.
That's the concern.
Here's the thing that I would be concerned about, and I think this runs contrary to what some fans think. James Dolan wants to win. So if you're a fan of the Orioles, right?
Right.
And they've lost for four straight years. They've lost on purpose. They are not trying to win. The maddening thing about this is James Dolan wants to win. He has a top payroll. The facility that they have in Westchester is top flight. They want to win, and they still can't do it. That's what's so frustrating. Oriole fans could be mad at ownership because they're not trying.
Right.
The Knicks are trying. So what's worse, Don, trying and losing or not trying and losing?
And of all the bad teams in New York, and there's plenty of them, and it's been a long time for the Jets, but at least they went to back-to-back championship games in 2009 and 2010. It was a long time ago, but it's fairly recent. Mets have been a mess, but they went to the World Series in 2015. Islanders have been a mess for three decades, but back-to-back years they went to the Final Four. This Knick team has not given the fans any kind of run in over 20 years. Not since Patrick Ewing and Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah, there was that one outlier year when they won 54 under Mike Woodson, and I think they won around.
2013, they got bounced in the second round by Indiana. So that's what you got. In 20 years of basketball, you've got one second-round appearance.
Amazing. It's a stretch of ineptitude that you could not have envisioned. Let's go to Mel in Queens.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, enjoy the show.
Thanks.
I want to speak basketball, because a lot of time when we get on this topic, people just spew around narratives and bash each other, right? But if we really want to get into deeper things, let me start off by saying this. The Knicks had some solid wins this year against some big teams. They beat the Sixers. They beat the Bucks. They beat the Boston Celtics. So they beat some good teams. They had big leads. So it's not like this team is completely garbage.
Last night, it was unexcusable because they lost to the Nets B team. Now, here's why Thibodeau has to take accountability for this. Number one, Randle has played by far the most minutes in the NBA. That's one thing that's been his downfall, Thibodeau's downfall. If you look at Derrick Rose, Luol Deng, Noah, he ran those plays in the ground. And it seemed like Randle may be on the pace of the same thing. Another issue that Thibodeau had, even when he was at Minnesota, is that he don't like playing young guys. And unless you have Kevin Durant, Greek Freak, LeBron James, and you're trying to win a championship, there's no reason for you not to play young guys and develop your young guys, because these veteran guys can go at any given time. They can get injured. They can leave. They can do so many things. So you should be developing your young guys. And my last point is this, right, with Cam Reddish and Kemba Walker. Even if you give Kemba Walker most of his minutes in the second half, at least he's a closer. When he's healthy, if you look at, I'm just talking about basketball. If you look at when Kemba Walker gets minutes this year, and go back and research it, if he gets minutes and he gets shots, Kemba Walker produces. When he benched Kemba Walker the first time, the Knicks went down. He started giving Kemba Walker back minutes, and he started giving him shots. He got player of the week, and the Knicks began to get on another win streak. So Tibbs, he has to take accountability because this is something that's been following him since Minnesota.
But, Mel, you got to say one thing, though. I mean, you're trumpeting Kemba Walker to get more time, but then you want him to play the kids. So Grimes is playing the minutes that Kemba Walker would have. So what do you want?
I'm saying close. At least we know he's a closer. So if you want, we're saying the Knicks don't have a closer. Yes, we do.
Kemba Walker is not your only closer. He's hard to keep on the court in big moments down the stretch. He can't play defense. Grimes is a lockdown defender at this young age. And he seems like he has ice water in his veins. So I think the organization has to sit down with Thibodeau. What's the plan? Is it important for us to make this play-in? Or are we going to play Obi Toppin and Cam Reddish and see what we have? See what's the future moving forward?
It's like it's so frustrating to even have this conversation because it's the coach's job to figure out what combination of players makes the most sense to win a basketball game. Obviously, that is a hard thing to do when you don't have a ton of talent. But it's even harder to do what they're doing right now. Like, their ability to find a way to lose 25 and 30-point leads. Guys, I'm not saying they should be out of the Thibodeau business right now. I'm not saying that. Maybe I understand his resume, and you can't just walk away from that immediately. But this seems like it is the job. We're talking about, where you should use Kemba, where you should use Grimes. That's his job. To any combination, there has to be a combination that will work to not allow you to blow a 28-point lead. We're not asking them to win hard games against great teams. We're asking them to hold huge leads against bad teams.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't get crazy about the wins against the Warriors and the Bucks and the Celtics and the Sixers, because they've also lost twice at home to Orlando. They lost to the Thunder the other night. So they give it back as quickly as they get it. And good teams find a way to find some consistency. Their record is what they are. They're a bad basketball team.
Let's take a brief timeout. Again, we hate starting the show every couple of days trashing the Knicks. I mean, it's old. They're bad. How many different ways can we say that they're bad without solutions? The solutions are they're a bad team. They got to change players. They got to redo the whole roster. Not a teardown, because I don't think they have enough people that other people want. But you got to move some contracts. You got to get people out that don't fit. If you're going to keep this coach, then you got to get him players that fit what he does. And I understand what Peter's saying. A coach should adapt, because Pat Riley ran Showtime with the Lakers.
Yep.
And when he came to the Knicks, he became a lunch pail coach. Bash a guy in the face. Make him pay for every drive to the basket. Completely the antithesis of Showtime. That's a sign of a great coach. Adapt to the talent you have. He looked at the Knicks, Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing and John Starks, said, this isn't Showtime. This is lunch pail time. So Thibodeau can't hold firm and say, I like to play guys a lot of minutes and I don't like to play rookies. Well, if you're going to burn guys out, how does that help?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why has baseball not been the same for you since 1994, but you'll watch a random NHL West Coast game until 2 a.m.? Haven't they missed much more time due to labor?
It's hockey, man.
Well, because I felt, and again, I'm full disclosure, the Mets were terrible, so it was kind of easy to just walk away and be disgusted.
Right.
Like I said, the NHL had two work stoppages to cut this game's 48 games. It really wasn't a big deal. The missing the season in 04-05 killed me. You were working with me at the time. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be done because the sport was dying. There were teams that were not going to be able to exist under the current system. You know, teams were already moving out of Canada. Teams were going to fold. They had to do something. So I understood where it was going. It was awful. It was terrible. And maybe I love hockey more than baseball, so it allowed me to come back easier. But I felt like they did what they had to do because the sport was in major trouble. At that time, Michael, its popularity was like nowhere. Their television contract wasn't very lucrative. And there were teams that were really dying. Outside of the Rangers and the Flyers and the Red Wings, there were teams that were just dying on the vine. Is that happening in baseball? Even though baseball has waned in popularity, you've said it many times, Michael, it's flush with cash. I don't hear any talk of teams folding. If they did not cancel that season, the Edmonton Oilers would have folded. The Calgary Flames would have folded. The Ottawa Senators would have folded. So you know, they had to do what they had to do. Are you telling me that baseball was ever in a situation where they were in such economic disarray where they had to postpone the World Series to save the sport? Was the sport saved by that cancellation in 94?
Well, I think that what the owners would say, I can't speak for them, that if we give the players what they want, there will be teams in jeopardy of surviving. That's what they would say. So, again, people are going to release what they want to release, and they're going to try to spin it the way they want to spin it, but you decide what you want to believe. It's game time, by the way, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Don's at the Garden. He's going to call the Detroit Ranger game tonight. That's a 7 p.m. start, 6:30 right here on 98.7. And you can watch it on ESPN Plus. And the Nets will try to win back-to-back. They will play Washington in Brooklyn. And that's a 7:30 start, 7 o'clock pregame on YES. 7:30 is the tip. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Mm. Please enjoy responsibly. So Aaron Judge was on the R2C2 podcast with Ryan Rucco, who I checked in with today. He's doing okay, battling COVID. And Karsten Charles Sabathia. And by the way, congratulations to Karsten Charles Sabathia III, who accepted a scholarship to play baseball at Georgia Tech.
Nice.
So Aaron Judge was on R2C2, and he was asked about his pending free agency.
That's one thing kind of leading into this, especially coming up to the minor leagues, starting your first couple of years of rookie ball. Everybody talks about getting a free agency. You want to be a free agent. You want to test the market a little bit, see what's out there. But that's one thing that I've been lucky enough to play in, the best organization out of all of them, so who wants to go anywhere else? But that's the thing is, whatever happens, if we can extension done at some point before the season started, you know, that'd be great. And you know, I'd be completely honored to be able to win pinstripes, you know, for a couple more years. But, you know, if it doesn't happen and this is, you know, my last year, you know, I had a lot of great memories and, you know, I'm always going to, you know, it doesn't matter if it's my last year, first year, you know, I'm going to go out there and play my best and do what I need to do for the city and do what I need to do for the team. But, you know, it's all in God's hands, you know, it's going to work out the way it's supposed to. And, you know, I got agents, I got people taking care of that for me. So I'm not even worried.
One thing, if I could give some advice to Aaron, any player who is up for maybe an extension and they say, you know, if I'm not signed by opening day, then I'll just become a free agent. You're really doing yourself a disservice because when this season starts, the amount of heavy lifting that front offices have to do to sign the remaining 300 free agents, to make the trades to complete their teams, the window is going to be so incredibly short, shorter than ever, that to sign a guy like Aaron Judge is going to be a nine-figure contract, right? Mm-hmm. To sign him, it's going to be virtually impossible.
Yeah.
So you've got to relax that a little bit. I love when they say, I'm not going to negotiate during the season. Well, he just said he's got agents to do that. Let your agents do it. And when they come up with the final offer, do you want it or not? It's not like you're sitting in on the negotiations. So if you're going to hold firm on it has to be done by opening day, I can almost assure you it will not be done this year.
No. God, the Yankees got a lot of work to do, Michael.
Oh, they haven't done anything.
Haven't done anything.
Before December 2nd, they didn't sign a free agent other than, I guess it was Wandy Rodriguez. That was it. And that was their own free agent. So they need to get a shortstop. They need to get possibly a first baseman. They want another center fielder. They might need another pitcher. That's a lot of heavy lifting. And they're going to negotiate a contract the size of Aaron Judge's before March 31st. Good luck. I think he should yield on that a little bit. Like if they want to sign him by May 15th, then take it.
I don't see how they make it work, Michael, to give him a big contract. As much as Yankee fans want to see him, I mean, how many big deal contracts can you have?
He's important. I mean, because he's obviously one of the faces of baseball. Fans love him. The Yankee fans love him. So it's interesting. And by the way, he's a hell of a player.
No,
the only problem that you have is his age.
Right, and that's a problem. And the Yankees are one team that, as much as it would stink if they lost him, it wouldn't be like the fans would revolt. I mean, you've seen it happen. They've lost players before. But they've got, you know, they've locked into these deals, Michael, and I just, because of his age and going to college, did that. I mean, you look at Soho. So what is he? Luis, what is he, 25? 24?
No, he's
23.
He's 23. And he's been in the big leagues 4 years.
Yeah, and so it's, and you've got Judge is going to be over 30.
Yeah, it's crazy how you can be – they've been a force in the league for the exact same amount of time, right?
Yeah, you're right. Well, this will be Judge's sixth season. This will be Soto's fifth.
But Judge's first big year was 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 5 years. Yeah, almost the same. He is, to me, I know you can certainly make an argument for Cole, but to me he's the number one priority that they have to figure out. I mean, it's complicated, as we've talked about many times, but this past season, when he really had to put it on the line and show what he's worthy of, I thought he gave you everything he possibly could, both in play and availability.
Well, I mean, I will say this. If the Yankees don't intend to sign him long-term, because, I mean, they're very smart, they know exactly what it's going to take, then they should have traded him rather than lose him for nothing. You know, the draft pick compensation, which might not even be part of this basic agreement, that's not going to equal Aaron Judge. So
no.
That's a big decision. So the fact that they have not traded him, they're going to be in play to try to sign him, but it's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of money. But, you know, you mentioned they've let players go before, Don. When's the last time they let a face of the team go?
Cano?
He wasn't the face of the team. Derek Jeter was.
Yeah, but Jeter was gone.
No, not when Cano went.
I'm trying to remember the timeline. When did he sign with Seattle?
Well, he signed a 10-year deal. He's got two more years left on that deal.
So it was 8 years ago. Huh.
Hey, Seattle.
Still a big name.
He's a big name, but, you know, they offered him $175 million, and he got $240 million. And that's the best deal they never signed.
but I think Yankee fans understand that, you know, how much are you going to give a guy that's going to be 31, you know, he'll be a free agent, he'll be 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give him a 7-8 year contract?
Right, because fans are real rational about this stuff, Don.
No, but I think they understand. I think Yankee fans are smart enough to realize, because they talked about it with CeCe all the time, too, about, oh, you get locked into these contracts when these guys get older, and then they're not signing free agents because they're locked into these long contracts. So, listen, I think fans would be upset if he left, but, you know, if he wanted that kind of a deal, I think they would kind of understand that how much are you going to pay him that much money into his, you know, past 35, 36, 37, 38 years old.
And he's a victim of circumstance, but he can also point and say, whoa, wait a minute. You just gave a 9-year contract to Gerrit Cole, and pitchers definitely in their late 30s are not the same. And, you know, Stanton is signed until his late 30s. Why not me? So he's a victim of going to college and then spending some time in the system. And that's what a lot of these negotiations are about, too. They feel it's kind of unfair that players, you know, that did go to college or spent a lot of time in the minors, they never get the cash in because the owners, the GMs in baseball are smart. Why am I going to pay somebody at 38 $40 million a year when I can get somebody that's going to give me the same WAR at 1/40th of that? That's what they're battling. I mean, it's a numbers game. The judge thing is going to be interesting. Also, in that R2C2 podcast, you know, he talked about what an honor it would be to be the captain. You know, if I would say that if they signed him, Don, that would be the guy that would be named captain. If they signed him, that's why they've waited. I think, because why name him the captain then lose him? You know, who was born today in 1964.
Hold on.
It wasn't today. I'm wrong.
Okay.
2 days ago.
It's
at Hospodar.
Because today in 1963 was
Louis Oosterhuizen. No. So 2 days ago in 1964 was Chris Farley.
Oh, wow. I saw that too.
Yeah.
Farley would be 58.
Which doesn't seem right, right?
Can't
picture him at 58.
And Jordan today turns 59.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So I texted him because he's really not helping Pusick out that much, not getting back to him that quickly.
Right.
And I said, hey, handsome, does 5 p.m. work? And he said, was that meant for Steve Young?
Oh.
And I wrote back, no, you are a handsome. I didn't say number one guest.
Wow. It continues on.
But he is locked in for 5 o'clock, Anthony.
Big. Well, that's good.
That's good to know. Thank you.
He's locked in.
I'll say this.
Yep.
He's the only guest, I believe, Passan may be the only guest in the world who could make today interesting. Who could really take something that's generally just a bummer and give you so much passion, so much insight that we wouldn't be thinking about.
It's no coincidence, Peter.
No.
That passion rhymes with passion.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a very passionate man.
By the way, another guy who could do that, it's his birthday today. Send out birthday wishes to the great Charles Broderick Buster Olney.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
I don't know, but I always wonder, I do that too, how old is he now? Like, why would you ask how old he was 3 years ago? You wouldn't. I'll find out.
If it's birthday, how old is he?
But you, how old is he now? He can only be, you know, what he
how
is.
How old are you now? Because it goes with the song.
Oh,
let's see
yeah.
what the old Wikipedia has to say.
Yeah, go to that. I'm going to go to this. The Knicks blew a 28-point lead.
Oh, Lord.
To lose to the Nets.
Holy
Jay
crap.
Will was on KJM. You can hear them from 8 to 10 right here Monday through Friday on 98.7 as I continue to show for ESPN. Imagine that.
He's 57.
Wow. He didn't look 57. Carries himself much
good.
Better than that. And he talked about the Knicks' struggles. Here's Jay Will.
The two people that New York Knicks fans had lauded about were Julius Randle and Tom Thibodeau. So the Thibodeau aspect we're just speaking about, right? Him running his courses, being really hard on guys all the time, and guys just be like, enough, I can't deal with this kind of workmanlike approach every single day in this league. And the second is Julius Randle. You know, down the stretch of the game last night, for anybody that was watching, there were two loose ball opportunities in which Julius Randle could have gone for them. But you talk about drowning a coach's ear out, right? Not listening anymore. Bruce Brown beat Julius Randle to both of those 50-50 balls. That to me is effort, man. And when there's a lack of effort because things are tough from your star player, even if you want to say thumbs down to the fans, and the coaching can't get enough out of the players, that leads to questions, Key, about are these the right people to build our franchise on the backs of?
Now, Julius Randle, after the game, defended his coach.
Man, coach is amazing. I'm riding with coach every day. He challenges us and prepares us very well every day. So, yeah, his message is still ringing clear in the locker room. We just got to execute.
Same old story. It gets a little weak. Another birthday to celebrate, our good friend Karen Veenstra. We saw this little guy grow up. Graham Veenstra, 3 years old today.
Nice.
Now, she sent a picture on Twitter, and Graham is decked out in a little Yankee sweatsuit. But notice the one thing, if you see the picture, guys, she puts a lot of product in Graham's hair. A lot of early product at 3 years old. I'm going to have to question Karen on this. A lot of product. Either that or the kid just got out of a shower. I'm not sure. I'm saying it's product.
I don't put any product in Marco's hair.
Well, why would product. Why would you put product in his hair? He's a baby.
Well, so is Graham Veenstra. He's got product.
Well, I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge Graham Veenstra because I don't know Karen Veenstra beyond
you do being know her.
A supportive listener of the show who I appreciate. Yeah, but I can't get in her parenting. You know, I'm always happy to judge you and Don's parenting. I can't do that to Karen Veenstra. But Don, yeah, I would be shocked if you said every morning the first thing you do is load Marco up like he's a mini RJ Santillo and goop it right in there. That wouldn't be right. Who's he trying to impress?
Did you see the picture? Steve Brzezinski just sent it out to us. So the Minnesota Vikings just introduced their new head coach, Kevin O'Connell.
That's right.
Who is, by the way, a little bit of a spinning image of our Don LaGreca.
Really?
Oh, really?
Same beautiful, you know, white gray mane with the gray goatee.
I got to see this.
Wait.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Kevin O'Connell is.
Yeah. I thought he was young.
He's 36 years old, Michael.
Well, if this is him. Oh, no, it's not. Thanks a lot. This is Paul Allen.
Oh, who's no,
Don. Running the introductory presser. You don't look like Kevin O'Connell at all.
You're banned.
You know, Brzezinski, you're banned now, by the way.
You can't listen.
Bye, buddy. Have a great life.
Here's the thing about Brzezinski. He's a great guy, okay? Love him. He comes to our shows, and he's a fantastic guy. You can't fully trust someone who tweets 600,000 times a day.
Now, in fairness
to Steve. He can say anything.
He just say, what's Don doing in Minnesota? He didn't say it was okay.
That's kind of
on you.
Yeah, it's on me. It's a me issue.
Also, somebody on Twitter earlier today is like, it's a joke Don hasn't cut his hair yet. Hey, it's going to happen. We want to do it on the air, and it looks like there's a few dates in March, early March, where I'm going to be at the studio.
Okay.
And maybe we can hook it up somewhere like March 8th, I think, is one of the days we're looking at, and we'll get somebody
to
cut the hair and the goatee and everything on the air.
I have a barber. My friend Elvin is coming to cut my hair today.
Is this the guy that was in the Cosby Show?
It's actually weird. You guys aren't going to believe this, but the guy who cuts my hair not only is Elvin from the Cosby Show, but two things. Number one, Elvin from the Cosby Show changed his name in real life to Elvin because he loved the character. Yep. And then said, I haven't acted in a while. I'm going to try being a barber. And so he is Elvin the Barber. That is
this
right.
This is really Elvin from the Cosby Show? Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
No, it's a little nuts.
You wouldn't think that he would just all of a sudden leave acting and become a barber. and change his name to Elvin. But yeah,
it'd be like Henry Winkler going, you know, I'm going to legally change my name to Fonzie.
That is a very lofty way of describing the Elvin character on The Cosby Show.
But you know what?
He was not the Fonz of The Cosby Show. I have a barber.
So if you were actually going to change your name to a role that you played, it would be Fonzie because it was iconic. Elvin, not many lunatics like me even know Elvin.
Well, that's why this would never happen in real life. His name is Jeffrey Lewis Owens, and he is not a barber. It looks like he acted in some short films as recently as 2020.
All right, so can we book him?
Elvin? Or my barber?
Yeah.
My actual barber, Elvin, I'm sure we can book, yes.
So it's not Elvin. You confuse me. It's not Elvin from The Cosby Show.
It's actually not. I was joking. It's not actually Elvin. Don, when did you realize it wasn't Elvin from The Cosby Show?
Pretty much immediately.
Right.
Well, I think, you know what? Your band, just like Brudzinski, why don't you sit out the rest of the show?
All right. How about this? Tuesday, March 8th. Book them. Tuesday, March 8th at the station. Hair, goatee, gone.
Now, one thing that I'm a little confused about with the bet, if you could help me out, Donald.
Yes.
Are you still getting pelted with the tennis balls?
Yes.
No, that's because that's what he wants, Peter. That's why he took the losing bet.
Because there was allegations.
Allegation.
That I wanted to get the haircut. And then I went goatee, but we've done that already.
No. So, you didn't want the allegations were you wanted to get the haircut because Nancy has backed you into a corner, and rather than just give in to her completely, you were trying to get an easy way out. It's like you're saying, I always wanted to dye my hair, so I wanted to lose it. So this is a convenient reason for you to give in to your wife.
Right. That's true.
And I think there's some validity to that.
Right, and I understand that. So we'll get the haircut, we'll do the goatee, and come Beach Bash, David Cohn or Al Leiter or CC Sabathia or anybody else that we may know will throw tennis balls at me.
Wait a minute.
Somebody just brought in a really good point. We can't actually get employees into our building. You're going to get a barber in? No, that's a no-go.
Well, I tried to get my hair cut, and you guys flipped out.
Well, no, but no, it's got to be something that helps the station. Well, let's take a brief time out and settle this, okay?
The station. How about that?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.